Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 32. This is God's holy word. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's as far as we're going to read this morning from God's holy word. Well, friends, on February 6th, just a couple of weeks ago, a special award to mark the 60th anniversary of Queen Elizabeth II's ascent to the throne was given to 60 Canadians at Rideau Hall. It was 60 years to the day that the Queen began her reign. And so the Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medals were awarded to Canadians who have devoted themselves to the well-being of family and community and country. These special commendations, these awards, were given to people like Olympic mogul skier Alexandra Bilodeau. They were given to people like Daryl Fox, who is the brother of Terry Fox, the young man who in 1980 tried to run across Canada. Remember, on one leg, he had a leg amputated because of cancer. He had a fake leg, a prosthetic leg. Imagine, boys and girls, running across Canada. It's hard enough, but with only one leg, he tried to do it to raise money for cancer research. And so these awards, 60 of them, were given to Canadians like that. You know, there are many ways that people seek and give commendations. A commendation is an acknowledgement of doing well. There are many ways that people seek that, and many ways that people receive that. Even in the Bible, we see it. In the book of Esther, when a man named Mordecai exposed a plot to assassinate the king, later on in Esther 6:3, the king says to his counselors, "What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? He did a great thing. He saved my life." Was he honored? Did he receive a commendation? And they said, nothing has been done for him. That wasn't good. The king wanted to commend Mordecai for what he had done. I'm sure you like to be commended. You like it when people come alongside and say, you know, you did a good job on that. You know that project you had at work? Good job. Boys and girls, you do your work at school. Maybe you get a paper back, a test. Isn't it nice when there's a big smiley face on the top of the test and your teacher has written across, great job, good work. I don't know how to say it in French. Bon. In big letters. That's a commendation. You enjoy that. But what do you think is the greatest commendation you can have? Is it a promotion at work, a raise? Would it be A++ on your school? Would it be a Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medal? What's the greatest commendation you can have? And I want you to think, not just from other people, but what do you think is the greatest commendation you can have from God? You ever thought about that? What does He commend? What does God look at us in our lives? What does He commend? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2 tells us. It's exactly what this verse tells us. God commends faith. Faith. Look again at Hebrews 11. It's explaining what faith is in verse 1. And then listen again to verse 2. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Last time, we considered from verse 1 the realm of faith. Where does faith operate? It operates in the realm of the unseen and the not yet. It operates in light of the revelation of those promises of hope that God gives us in His Word. And in terms of the unseen, not only of those future hopes, but things that are unseen to us in terms of past history. Creation, you can't see that. It's in the realm of faith. The cross of Jesus, the resurrection, Pentecost, all those things that we read in His Word, they're unseen to us. But we're certain of them through faith in God's Word. And, of course, the whole unseen reality of the spiritual realm, God Himself, unseen. But we're certain of these things. Faith's response to things unseen and things not yet, things hoped for, based on the authority and witness of God Himself, is certainty and conviction. God reveals these things, and faith responds by being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Because God cannot lie. He is the perfect authority and witness to these things. And this makes things unseen and not yet, this kind of certainty that faith gives us, makes things that are unseen and things that are not yet the promises of God's Word that we hope for, it makes them as real as the things we see and have. Even more real. They are better and lasting things. One of the early church fathers, St. Augustine, said, "Faith is to believe what you do not see, and the reward for this faith is to see what you believe." To really see it now, the certainty of faith, and one day to really see it when God accomplishes those promises and they will all be yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Christian faith, then, you see, sees and believes and holds on to things that are better and lasting. Belief embraces things promised to God's children in His Word. Biblical faith enables men and women and boys and girls to persevere even when the seen and the present, the things all around us, are full of trouble and opposition and suffering. That's the point that he's been making. Because only that kind of faith that is sure of what you hope for can explain those earlier days, verse 32, after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in the great contest in the face of suffering, when you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution, when you stood side by side voluntarily with those who were so treated, when you sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. How do you explain that? I'm certain of better and lasting possessions. That's how you explain it. These early Hebrew Christians were being called to persevere in that kind of faith, not to give up, not to go back to the old ways. So we see in verse 39 of chapter 10, we are not of those who shrink back. How serious is that? And are destroyed. If they turn away from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they shrink back, they will be destroyed. We are not of those, he says, those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. And so when he says believe, that's the theme of faith. To have faith and to believe in the Bible are the same thing. So that's why in Hebrews 11:1, he begins to explain the faith that he's just mentioned. We are those who believe and are saved. Now faith is, and he explains the faith that he has in mind. And then in verse 2, that faith is commended to them, the people who originally heard this letter, as the writer reminds them of who was commended for that kind of faith. And that's the verse that's before us this morning. Hebrews 11:2. This faith is what the ancients were commended for. He wants them, you see, to think about others who were examples of the faith that they need. If they are going to press on, if they are going to persevere in the Christian life with all the things that were happening to them, all the opposition and persecution and suffering and troubles and trials, if they are going to persevere, they need the kind of faith that was seen in generations past in God's people. He wants them to think about others who are examples of the faith. And where does he go to find those examples? He goes to the Old Testament. He goes to the Old Testament. Now, I want to stop there. Do you see the irony? Do you see the irony in that? All along, as these people were tempted to go back to Old Testament ways, he has been encouraging them, and we've said it over and over. He has been encouraging them not to leave Christ and go back. He said over, don't go back. Don't go back. Don't go back. What they need to do instead, Hebrews 11:2, is go back. See, that's the irony of it. Don't go back in one way. You want to go back? Then really go back. Really go back to what was really going on in the Old Testament with God's real people. Don't just go back in an external, superficial way. You want to go back? Okay, let's go back. But I'm going to show you what back really is. I'm going to really show you from the Old Testament what was there all along. And if you really knew what was there all along, you wouldn't be tempted to go back in the way that you're wanting to go back, just to external things. They needed to really go back to the heart of the Old Testament, not to the externals, not to the buildings, not to the priesthood, not to the animal sacrifices. They needed to go back to the faith of the true people of God that has been seen in every generation of the church. You see, friends, the issue has always been faith. Always. Even when God ordained so many external things in the elements of worship and life for God's people, the issue is faith. We still have some external things. We have to come to a place to worship. That's sort of an external thing. We have the sacraments, the preaching, praying. Those are external kinds of things. But the issue is faith. You can do all those things. But what's going on in your heart? You know, you talk to so many people. Are you okay with God? Yeah, I'm okay with God. Well, how? Why? I go to church. What about your heart? That's what God sees. That's what God's interested in. And that's what he's saying here. I want you to look back to the Old Testament to really see what God commended. And if you really see it, you're going to be able to go ahead in the right way. Because, friends, externals without faith is useless. It's worse than useless. Jeremiah 7, verse 4, we heard it this morning. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. This is the temple of the Lord. You see what they were doing? We must be okay. We go to church. We must be okay. There's the temple. God gave it to us. We must be okay. External things. When Jesus was on the earth and he was confronting the religious leaders of his day, he says to them in Matthew 3, 9, do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. What's going on there? Jesus is saying, are you okay with God? And these people are saying, yeah, I was raised in a Christian family. My parents are Christians. Jesus is saying, that doesn't say anything about your heart. Just because you were raised in a Christian home, it's a great blessing. You'll be held responsible for that. But God can raise up kids to Christian parents from stones in the ground. You see, the same sorts of dynamics are going on that have always gone on. That's what the writer's saying. So then and now he's saying what the real need is faith. Faith and not hope in external things. This is what the ancients were commended for, verse 2. Literally, if you read the Greek, if you were to just bring the Greek as closely as possible into the English, the word for ancients there is the word that gives us our word, Presbyterian. So if you were really reading, you could say, this is what the Presbyterians were commended for. Would that it would be so, that this is what the Presbyterians were commended for. But that word Presbyterian, it gives us our word elder. Presbyterian church just means a church that's ruled by elders. But that word elder can mean not just someone who's ordained in the church, but even before that, it just meant an older person. So even previous generations, forefathers. And here it's translated the ancients. Your forefathers in the faith. Your mums and your dads and your grandmas and your granddads and your great, 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 all the way back. This is what they were commended for. Faith. Back even before the temple and the priesthood. He goes right back. Even before those external things that you're putting your hope in, it was faith. Hebrews 11, you see, is going to show in the lives of Old Testament saints how it was faith that was at work. Even then. Sometimes you run into Christians who want to divide the Bible with a really hard break between Old Testament and New Testament. Say, God saved the Old Testament people one way, but now he saves people in a different way. Back then it was by their own works, and now it's by faith and that sort of thing. You see, that's not at all what the Bible is saying here. It's saying it's faith. You need faith. They had faith. Old Testament, New Testament. No one was ever saved by what they did. No one was ever saved by external things. It was always faith. Always. Every example of faith here in this New Testament passage is from the Old Testament. We need to meditate on that to see the unity of God's word and God's people and God's plan of salvation. Those ancient believers looked ahead in faith in God's promise to the coming Messiah, Jesus. He hadn't come yet. But they looked ahead. They trusted. They had all these promises. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. We're trusting. We're trusting. We're trusting. They were trusting in the Messiah who is to come. But we look in faith as well in the promises of God to the same Savior, to the same Jesus who has already come and who's coming again, so that we share that faith of a coming Messiah in a way. He's come already. To pay for sin, to accomplish salvation, but he's coming again, and that's promised in God's word, and we're certain of it by faith. They live by faith in the coming Messiah. We live by faith in the Messiah who has come and is coming again. But it's all faith, taking God at his word. Faith was not only how they persevered. He says in verse 2, this is what they were commended for, commended for. The word there is the Greek word martyreo. It gives us our English word martyr. Martyr in the New Testament just means a witness. But because so many witnesses for Jesus were killed, it came to mean in the English language someone who was killed for their faith. But originally it just meant a witness, some sort of testimony. And it's translated here commended because sometimes the testimony that's given is of someone's good work or someone's accomplishments that they've done. So in Acts 10:22, the men said, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion, a Roman soldier. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people." Where it says they're respected, it's the same word here. Commended, witnessed. They have given a good report of him. Acts 10:22, it's translated in the King James, of good report. They're commended. These Jewish people said, that Roman soldier there, he's a good guy. We commend him for who he is and what he's done for us. So that's the word that's being good report, commendation, martyreo. But in Hebrews 11, the ancients were the ones who were commended. But who was doing the commending? God. Who were they commended by? I think the assumption is God. God commended them for their faith. You know, friends, let me say this. Faith is really all that God commends. It's really all that he commends. There's nothing else that he commends. Because only faith is commendable in the lives of sinners. You know, you try to think, well, what is God going to look at my life and say, well done? Because God is perfect. If he's perfect and he looks at what I do, I don't have anything that I can bring before him to say, well, God, here's something. Finally, I've done it. It's perfect. And you can say, good. I don't have that. You don't either. You don't have anything. We can do lots of things, but nothing's perfect. Everyone will admit nobody's perfect, but God is. And for him to say good, it has to be perfect. That's how good it has to be. That's why it says in verse 6, if you just look ahead, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not because he's a hard, hard to please. It's because he's holy. He's completely separate from sin. He would not be God if he swept sin under the carpet and ignored it. And so you see, apart from the gift of saving faith, we and our lives are covered by sin. Everything that we do, because we are born into this world, sinners, everything that we do, everything that we've ever done, is mingled with sin. Sometimes we do good things, but the motives are bad for it. And that wrecks it. We do it so that people will see how good we are. We do it so that we'll get something back. On some level, sin always gets in and wrecks things. And sin is not commendable. It is damnable. And unless, friend, your sin has been dealt with in a way that satisfies God, no matter how much men may commend you and honor you and respect you, the holy God cannot and will not commend you. Instead, you will hear this, Matthew 25:41, then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." That's not commendation. That's the reality because of sin. No one pleases God. God is perfect. You are not. I'm not. There was only one man. Boys and girls, listen. There was only one man who ever lived on this earth who received God's commendation based on his own personal life and obedience. Once when Jesus was high up on a mountain, it says in Matthew 17, while he was speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this was the voice of God the Father, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Commendation. Perfect. Nothing in Jesus that God could say, well, good job, but. Perfect. In everything he ever thought, everything he said, everything he did, perfect. no sin. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what God from heaven said. This is my son. I commend him. I'm well pleased with him. But how does the commendation of Jesus relate to me? Okay, God commended Jesus, but that's still, where does that leave me? Well, the Bible says the wonderful good news that by faith, and by that faith, the Bible means by not trusting in what I have done. Say, well, God, I'm trying, or God, here's something, I pray, I give, I go to church, I do all these things. Not by trusting in my own efforts or my own attempts at religious piety, my supposed goodness, but by faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ for sinners. If I say, Lord, don't look at me, because I know what you'll see if you look at me. Look at him, and I look to him. That's faith. I'm going to trust Jesus and what he did for me, both in his dying for the forgiveness of sin and his righteous life. That kind of faith. The Bible says if you trust in Christ, look away from yourself, then your sin is washed away and your life is covered by his righteousness. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Bible says that it is by faith that you're united to Christ, that you're joined to Christ. If you're not joined to Christ, you're on your own. And believe me, you may say in this life, oh, I like to be on my own. I'm an independent person. I don't need anybody. You can say that and get through life. You're not going to get past God. Because each one of us has to stand before him, before the all-knowing, all-powerful, holy God, and give an account for our lives. And on that day, not one of us is going to say anything back to him. But the Bible says, if you're not on your own saying before God, you, by faith you can be joined to Jesus Christ, united to Jesus Christ. And that when we are united to Christ by faith, the commendation that Christ heard from heaven, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, you are privileged then to hear. He looks at you not on your own, but he looks at you in Christ. He looks at you through Christ, with sins washed away, with the righteousness of Christ upon you. And by faith in Christ, God looks at you and says, with you I am well pleased. It's the wonder of the gospel. You know, maybe you grew up in a home, maybe your mom and dad, you had a mom and dad who you just could never please. Lots of people grow up in homes like that. Nothing you ever did, your dad ever said, good job. And you know what that was like growing up. Well, there's nothing we can do. God is holy. But look at what he's done for us. What we could never do, he's done for us, so that he, through Christ, has accomplished and made a way so that he can look at you and say, I'm well pleased with you. So that you can have his commendation. And it's through faith. There's so many people that are just trying, working so hard, doing this, doing that, so that they think God will be pleased with them. It's faith. You trust in Christ, and he's pleased with you. Because nothing you do, even as a Christian, is going to earn God's favor and merit and commendation. You have it already. That's what we need to know. We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. You see, this is the blessing. This is the other half of the great and gracious exchange of the gospel. Our sin was put on him, but his righteousness and his blessing was put on us. It's the great exchange in the gospel. So that by faith, even though we remain personally imperfect and we continue to sin, because our position and standing in Christ, because we're united to Christ, those with true faith one day will hear, not depart from me, wicked into eternal condemnation, but we'll hear Matthew 25:23, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. That's the commendation you want to hear. I don't care if I ever get a Queen Elizabeth II Diamond Jubilee Medal. I really don't. I don't care. And you know, if I'm in my right mind, I really don't care what any of you think. Now, that sounds kind of, you know, we care about what other people think. And there's a good sense to caring what other people think, because they're people and they see things in us that we need to hear from them about who we are. But you know, in the deepest sense, I don't want to care about what you think about me, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. These people were being persecuted for following Christ. And if they had been men pleasers, they'd say, well, if I don't do this or that, if I don't listen to that person, well, they're not going to like me. And not even that, they're going to take away everything that I have, and they're going to kill my kids, and they're going to kill my wife, and they're going to kill me. And if that's the way we're living, we're slaves. But this is faith. We care what God says. And if we're trusting in Jesus Christ, God says, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the commendation I want to hear. Hope that's the commendation you want to hear after everything is said and done. And the only way that we hear that commendation is how? Through faith. That's what God commends. Why is faith commendable? Because it justifies us before God, Romans 4:5. To the man who does not work but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Because faith takes God at his word. The serpent said at the beginning, has God really said? Faith says yes. And we honor God by taking him at his word, by trusting him for his promises. Psalm 119, you are my refuge, my shield. I put my hope in your word. Faith is commendable because it exalts the grace of God. Romans 4:16. The promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace. Faith is commendable because it's evidence of the Holy Spirit. By faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. Friends, you can do many things that will win you the commendation of men, but only faith will win for you the commendation of God. Which one do you want? We're all going to leave this door here wanting one or the other. No middle ground. Nobody exempt. You can have the commendation, the smiles, the rewards, the accolades of men or of God. Which do you want? I hope we're all saying in our hearts before God this morning, I want faith. I want faith. Faith that is commended by God. But do I really have it? That's the next question. You can say, yeah, I want it. Do I really have it? This can be a struggle even for Christians. When we hear that it's faith that's commended, and when we're going to read these stories of Hebrews 11, we're going to say, wow, I'm supposed to be encouraged by these examples of faith, but I'm pretty discouraged because that sure doesn't seem to be the faith that I have. They had faith in the face of lions, and I can't even speak to my friends. They have faith that went through a fiery furnace, and I can't even deal with a problem at work. I think if we're honest, sometimes this Hebrews chapter 11 can discourage Christians. It says here, faith is commendable. This is what the ancients were commended for. Oh, where's my faith? What kind of faith do I have? My faith seems so inadequate. I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does seem inadequate. But let me encourage you with this. Only, I think, a real faith would see your faith in that way. I think only a real faith struggles with the inadequacy of faith. I think false faith is a self-satisfied faith. Yeah, I believe, no problem. That probably isn't real faith. Real faith is a struggling faith. It's the good fight of faith. Real faith sees its weaknesses, even as it believes. So you see, the Bible speaks often of small faith and weak faith. But even, listen, even little faith, if it is real faith, is saving faith. You can have faith as small as a mustard seed. But if it's real faith, you're looking to God and not to yourself, it's saving faith. Someone once said, how can weak faith be made strong? How can little faith become great? Not by looking inside yourself to examine your own faith. You cannot strengthen faith by introspection any more than you can promote growth in a plant by pulling it up to inspect its roots. You strengthen your faith rather by looking hard at the objects of faith, the promises of God in Scripture, the unseen realities of God and your life in Him and your hope of glory. Looking to the living Christ Himself, once on the cross, now on the throne. Faith in its essence is looking away from yourself. How can you strengthen faith? Not by looking at yourself then. Continue looking away. Look to the promises of God. Look to Jesus Christ in Scripture. Look to the hope that you have. That's how you strengthen faith. Faith feeds and grows strong on the Word of God. And in particular here, Hebrews 11, then these persevering examples of faith. They bore witness to God and His Word by their persevering faith. And though men harassed them and circumstances challenged them, they stood their ground in faith and God bore witness to them. As Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. These stood their ground by God's grace. And now in Scripture, they bear witness to you and to me. And you know, when you persevere in the faith, you bear witness to those around you. You bear witness to your husband or to your wife, to your children. You bear witness to your neighbors that you are someone who, by God's grace, in God's Word, is certain of what is unseen, that you live the life you live with hope in Jesus Christ. What God commends, beloved, is faith. Remember Thomas, the disciple who after the resurrection said, unless I see, I will not believe. John 20:29, Jesus told Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. There's a special blessing. Sometimes you think, oh, I wish I would have been there to see Jesus. Jesus corrects that kind of thinking with Thomas. He says, you know, there's a special blessing for those who have not seen me and believe. And think of John 11. With this we'll close. John 11, when Jesus was speaking to Martha. Remember, he was preaching in a cemetery. What a place to preach on faith. You want to really get down to things hoped for and things unseen and what hope you really have in this life, then you preach in a cemetery. And what a congregation he was preaching to. To people whose eyes were red and bleary from their weeping, it says in John 11. To men and women who were wondering why and who were asking, if only. And Jesus says to her in that place, to that congregation, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? One preacher of generations ago said to his congregation, live as believing people. God expects this at your hands. Ask no sign or vision. Ask no evidence of miracle or feeling within to rest your faith on. God has given you a true report concerning his Son in the Scriptures, confirmed with infallible proofs. Let your faith rest simply there in the absence of sight or sense or feeling or sign or external or internal. Remember how it is written, if you shall believe, you shall see. The vision will come in its due time and it will be infinitely glorious. Meanwhile, walk by faith until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. For blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed.